Good evening, everyone. I have a little bit of a preface before our scripture reading tonight. We're going to be reading from Psalm number 119, as you can see right there. But before we do, I want to talk a little bit about it. There's a lot to be said. We did a slight study when Mickey was still here about several of the Psalms in different categories, and we did talk about this one. But just to refresh our memory a little bit, just a few truths, little facts that we can know about Psalm 119 before we start. It is actually written as an acrostic poem. And what that means is the verses of each stanza begin with the same letter of the Hebrew alphabet, such as Aleph and Beth and Gimel and so on. This is only noticeable in looking back at the original text because it doesn't line up in English, but in Hebrew it does. But it's an acrostic poem. There are 22 stanzas or sections equal to the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Each one has 8 verses, a total of 176 verses. The author of Psalm 119 is unknown. It doesn't tell us. When we're reading Psalm 119, it doesn't say anywhere in there. Some have suggested that it may have been Ezra, the priest, written about the time the temple had been rebuilt. This paragraph that I downloaded off the internet kind of makes sense, but I wanted to read it to you. It says, though the life of Ezra may not be the most well-known in the Bible, he was extremely important and greatly used by God at a time in history when the Israelites desperately needed a faithful, strong leader. Ezra lived his days out in a deep personal commitment to God, not simply seeking his own personal gain. He was given much responsibility to lead, sent by King Artaxerxes to set up a program of religious education for the people. His life proved faithful to study, follow, and teach God's word, and his godly example is still very relevant for our lives today. Others have suggested that Psalm 119 may have been written by David or possibly Daniel. The author is certainly one who experienced great affliction in life, since the persecution of those who hold fast to the word of God is a theme carried throughout. When we read through Psalm 119, we will notice that almost every verse mentions God's word. Every verse mentions God's word in some way. It may be written as his word, his ways, his statutes, his decrees, his laws, his precepts, commands, or promise, but it's in some way mentioned through every verse in Psalm 119. This one I don't think is necessarily meaningful, but it is interesting. Just as Psalm 119 is the longest chapter of the Bible, just 2 psalms before it, Psalm 117, is the shortest chapter in the Bible. There's been much discussion throughout history on whether Psalm 117 or 118 is the center chapter of the entire Bible. Some have said it's divided as such, 594 chapters up to Psalm 117, and 594 chapters from 119 on. With chapter 118 being in the center, and a total of 1,189 chapters in the entire Bible. Like I said, I don't know if it's meaningful, but it's interesting. It's an interesting thing to note. Those who hold to this also believe that Psalm 118:8 is the center verse of the Bible. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. True, it's interesting. But we also know that God didn't divide the Bible into chapters and verses. Man did that. So, I don't know how much credence there is to, you know, the whole Bible is important, not just the center verse. And it all pretty much says that anyway. The 2 verses, praise the Lord, all nations, laud him, all peoples, for his loving kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord is everlasting. Praise the Lord. Those are the center ones. Either way, it's interesting to note that depending on the translation, 594 plus 594 equals 1188. It all points to the truth that God is a God of order and precision. Like I said, I downloaded this, but that's the way it's looked at by a lot of people. The overall message of Psalm 119 focuses on the truth of God's word. It encourages us through every generation to stay close and focused on his word no matter what swirls around us in this world. Living in the freedom and knowledge of God's ways, obeying his law above all else, and keeping in step with his commandments is the only way to live wise and strong lives. So, I just thought that was interesting that I would share that with you. I also wanted to share some scripture with you before we get into Psalm 119, because it's scripture about scripture. Psalm 119 is about God's word. And if you'll go over to 2 Timothy chapter 3 with me, in fact, starting 2 Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 14, Paul's talking to Timothy. He says, "Remind them of these things and solemnly charge them in the presence of God not to wrangle about words, which is useless and leads to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth." This was one of those memory verses that I had when I was in fifth grade. One of the first ones I remember having, fifth grade. And it didn't make sense till I got a little bit older. Got to be, you know, a little bit more knowledgeable about what that verse means. And basically what it means is that if your goal is to please God, you want to be approved to God, He expects you to study His Word. That's what it means. It means God expects you to know and to handle accurately the Word of Truth. And as I used to teach in my teenage class back in the back 20 years ago, you can't handle it accurately if you don't handle it at all. And how many people never pick up their Bibles? How many people, you go visit their house and they've got a family Bible sitting on the coffee table and it's got dust on it? It never gets picked up. They don't read it. In order to handle accurately the word of truth, we have to handle it. And then we can start handling it accurately. But if you'll jump over to chapter 3 and look at verse 16, Paul tells Timothy, "All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work." Some versions say the man of God may be perfect, complete, equipped for every good work. Verse 16, though, I want to focus on that. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. These are the things that we all need. We all need teaching. We all need reproof from time to time, correction from time to time, and training. And training is repetition. Repetition, repetition. That's what training is. So we need to be well-versed in Scripture and repeat it over and over again. And that said, Psalm 119, New American Standard, 1995. "How blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. How blessed are those who observe His testimonies, who seek Him with all their heart. They also do no unrighteousness. They walk in His ways. You have ordained Your precepts that we should keep them diligently. Oh, that my ways would be maybe established to keep Your statutes. Then I shall not be ashamed. When I look upon all your commandments, I shall give thanks to You with uprightness of heart. When I learn Your righteous judgments, I shall keep Your statutes. Do not forsake me utterly. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to Your word. With all my heart I have sought You. Do not let me wander from Your commandments. Your word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against You. Blessed are You, O Lord. Teach me Your statutes. With my lips I have told of all the ordinances of Your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of Your testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate on Your precepts and regard Your ways. I shall delight in Your statutes. I shall not forget Your word. Deal bountifully with Your servant, that I may live and keep Your word. Open my eyes, that I may behold wonderful things from Your law. I am a stranger in the earth. Do not hide Your commandments from me. My soul is crushed with longing after Your ordinances at all times. You rebuke the arrogant, the cursed, who wander from Your commandments. Take away reproach and contempt from me, for I observe Your testimonies. Even though princes sit and talk against me, Your servant meditates on Your statutes. Your testimonies also are my delight. They are my counselors. My soul cleaves to the dust. Revive me according to Your word. I have told of my ways. You have answered me. Teach me Your statutes. Make me understand the way of Your precepts, so I will meditate on Your wonders. My soul weeps because of grief. Strengthen me according to your word. Remove the false way from me, and graciously grant me your law. I have chosen the faithful way. I have placed your ordinances before me. I cling to your testimonies. O Lord, do not put me to shame. I shall run the way of your commandments, for you will enlarge my heart. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall observe it to the end. Keep me understanding, or give me understanding, that I may observe your law and keep it with all my heart. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline your heart to my testimonies. Let me say that again. Incline my heart to your testimonies, and not to dishonest gain. Turn away my eyes from looking at vanity, and revive me in your ways. Establish your word to your servant as that which produces reverence for you. Turn away my reproach, which I dread, for your ordinances are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me through your righteousness. May your loving kindness also come to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your word. So I will have an answer for him who reproaches me, for I trust in your word. And do not take the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I wait for your ordinances. So I will keep your law continually, forever and ever. I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts. I will also speak of your testimonies before kings, and shall not be ashamed. Sorry about that.
Six. Six times you've done it.
Oh, that's the sixth time?
Yep.
Oh. Seven's the perfect number.
Go for it.
Verse 47. I shall delight in your commandments, which I love. And I shall lift up my hands to your commandments, which I love. And I will meditate on your statutes. Remember the word to your servant, in which you have made me hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, that your word has revived me. The arrogant utterly deride me, yet I do not turn aside from your law. I have remembered your ordinances from of old, O Lord, and comfort myself. Burning indignation has seized me because of the wicked who forsake your law. Your statutes are my songs. In the house of my pilgrimage, O Lord, I remember your name in the night and keep your law. This has become mine, that I observe your precepts. The Lord is my portion. I have promised to keep your words. I sought your favor with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your word. I considered my ways and turned my feet to your testimonies. I hastened and did not delay to keep your commandments. The cords of the wicked have encircled me, but I have not forgotten your law. At midnight, I shall rise to give thanks to you because of your righteous ordinances. I am a companion of all those who fear you and of those who keep your precepts. The earth is full of your loving kindness, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. You have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Teach me good discernment and knowledge, for I believe in your commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. The arrogant have forged a lie against me. With all my heart, I will observe your precepts. Their heart is covered with fat, but I delight in your law. It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces. Your hands made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. May those who fear you see me and be glad, because I wait for your word. I know, O Lord, that your judgments are righteous, and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. O may your loving kindness comfort me. According to your word, your servant, may your compassion come to me that I may live, for your law is my delight. May the arrogant be ashamed, for they subvert me with a lie, but I shall meditate on your precepts. May those who fear you turn to me, even those who know your testimonies. May my heart be blameless in your statutes, so that I will not be ashamed. My soul languishes for your salvation. I wait for your word. My eyes fail with longing for your word, while I say, when will you comfort me? Though I have become like a wineskin in smoke, I do not forget your statutes. How many are the days of your servant? When will you execute judgment on those who persecute me? The arrogant have dug pits for me, men who are not in accord with your law. All your commandments are faithful. They have persecuted me with a lie. Help me. They almost destroyed me on earth. But as for me, I did not forsake your precepts. Revive me according to your loving kindness, so that I may keep the testimony of your mouth. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Your faithfulness continues throughout all generations. You established the earth as it stands. They stand this day according to your ordinances. For all things are your servants. If your law had not been my delight, then I would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have revived me. I am yours. Save me. For I have sought your precepts. The wicked wait for me to destroy me. I shall diligently consider your testimonies. I have seen a limit to all perfection. Your commandment is exceedingly broad. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever mine. I have more insight than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, because I have observed your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way, that I may keep your word. I have not turned aside from your ordinances, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste. Yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. From your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn, and I will confirm it, that I will keep your righteous ordinances. I am exceedingly afflicted. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word. O, accept the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me your ordinances. My life is continually in my hand, yet I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I have not gone astray from your precepts. I have inherited your testimonies forever, for they are the joy of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes forever, even to the end. Verse 113. I hate those who are double-minded, but I love your law. You are my hiding place and my shield. I wait for your word. Depart from me, evildoers, that I may observe the commandments of my God. Sustain me according to your word, that I may live, and do not let me be ashamed of my hope. Uphold me, that I may be safe, that I may have regard for your statutes continually. You have rejected all those who wander from your statutes, for their deceitfulness is useless. You have removed all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore, I love your testimonies. My flesh trembles for fear of you, and I am afraid of your judgments. I have done justice and righteousness. Do not leave me to my oppressors. Be surety for your servant for good. Do not let the arrogant oppress me. My eyes fail with longing for your salvation and for your righteous word. Deal with your servant according to your loving kindness and teach me your statutes. I am your servant. Give me understanding that I may know your testimonies. It is time for the Lord to act, for they have broken your law. Therefore, I love your commandments above gold, yes, above fine gold. Therefore, I esteem right all your precepts concerning everything. I hate every false way. Your testimonies are wonderful. Therefore, my soul observes them. The unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. I opened my mouth wide and panted, for I longed for your commandments. Turn to me and be gracious to me after your manner with all those who love your name. Establish my footsteps in your word, and do not let any iniquity have dominion over me. Redeem me from the oppression of man, that I may keep your precepts. Make your face shine upon your servant, and teach me your statutes. My eyes shed streams of water, because they do not keep your law. Righteous are you, O Lord, and upright are your judgments. You have commanded your testimonies in righteousness and exceeding faithfulness. My zeal has consumed me, because my adversaries have forgotten your words. Your word is very pure, therefore your servant loves it. I am small and despised, yet I do not forget your precepts. Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your law is truth. trouble and anguish have come upon me. Yet your commandments are my delight. Your testimonies are righteous forever. Give me understanding that I may live. I cried with all my heart. Answer me, O Lord. I will observe your statutes. I cried to you, save me, and I shall keep your testimonies. I rise before dawn and cry for help. I wait for your words. My eyes anticipate the night watches, that I may meditate on your word. Hear my voice according to your loving kindness. Revive me, O Lord, according to your ordinances. Those who follow after wickedness draw near. They are far from your law. You are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are truth. Of old I have known from your testimonies that you have founded them forever. Look upon my affliction and rescue me, for I do not forget your law. Plead my cause and redeem me. Revive me according to your word. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek your statutes. Great are your mercies, O Lord. Revive me according to your ordinances. Many are my persecutors and my adversaries. Yet I do not turn aside from your testimonies. I behold the treacherous and loathe them, because they do not keep your word. Consider how I love your precepts. Revive me, O Lord, according to your loving kindness. The sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous ordinances is everlasting. Princes persecute me without cause, but my heart stands in awe of your words. I rejoice at your word, as one who finds great spoil. I hate and despise falsehood, but I love your law. 7 times a day I praise you because of your righteous ordinances. Those who love your law have great peace, and nothing causes them to stumble. I hope for your salvation, O Lord, and do your commandments. My soul keeps your testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I keep your precepts and your testimonies, for all my ways are before you. Let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. Let my supplication come before you. Deliver me according to your word. Let my lips utter praise when you teach me your statutes. Let my tongue sing of your word, for all your commandments are righteousness. Let your hand be ready to help me, for I have chosen your precepts. I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. Let my soul live that it may praise you. Let your ordinances help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Ask your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. Psalm 119. This is one of those psalms that every now and then we just need to put our nose back into this psalm and see how the psalmist loved the Word of God. And then ask ourselves the question, do I love the Word of God like that? I should. I should love the Word of God like this psalmist loved the Word of God, never wanting it to be apart from him and never wanting to be lost in the mire of worldliness. So, anyway, I just been wanting to read that for a while, so I took the opportunity for tonight. We don't like to finish an assembly of the Lord's church without offering the Lord's invitation. We know that we must hear the Word of God in order to be saved. We are told in Scripture, God's Word, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Paul wrote to the church in Thessalonica, it was for this that he called you through our gospel, that you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brethren, stand firm and hold to the traditions which you were taught, whether by word of mouth or by letter from us. We are called by the gospel. We're not called by a still small voice in here, in the middle of the night when God calls our name. That's not the way it works. If you've heard the gospel, you've been called. We're called through the gospel of Christ. James 1:21 says, therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all the remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. It is not the word that saves our souls. It's the word implanted that is able to save our souls. And that's because the word implanted calls us to act, calls us to do what God wants us to do. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, the Hebrew writer says, without faith it is impossible to please him, For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who seek him. God fully expects us not only to hear the gospel, but to believe the gospel. Part of the gospel message is that he sent his only begotten Son into this world to die on the cross to pay for our sins. I mean, that is the gospel message. He wants us to believe that. John 8:24, Jesus said, "Therefore I say to you that you will die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins." Now, your version might say, "Unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." But that he is in italics. That means the translators put that in. What Jesus said was, "Unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins." He is. I am is the eternal name of God, according to what God told Moses in Exodus chapter 3. We need to repent of our sins. Luke 13:3, Jesus said, "Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." We need to repent of our sins. That means stop sinning and go the other direction. Whatever sin we are doing in our life, we need to stop doing that and turn back to God. Ask him to forgive us. Acts chapter 17, verses 30 and 31, Paul was talking to a bunch of Athenian philosophers. They were idol worshippers. They worshipped all sorts of gods. And he said, "Therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all people everywhere should repent, because he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead." And of course, right after that passage, it tells you that some believed, some scoffed, and some said, "We want to hear you again concerning this." Well, that's pretty much always the way people respond. The same response happens every time the gospel is preached. Some believe, some scoff, and some say, "I want to hear some more." But we need to repent of our sins. Romans chapter 10, verse 10, tells us that we need to confess. It says, "For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation." We need to confess that Jesus Christ is our Lord and our Savior. Jesus said in Matthew 10:32, "Therefore, everyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven." And we need to be baptized into Christ. This baptism is something that was commanded by Jesus Christ. Jesus said in Mark 16:16, "He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved." He told the apostles to go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. "He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned." We need to believe the gospel and we need to obey the gospel. And that means repenting, confessing, being baptized. Acts 2:38, Peter says why we need to be baptized. "Repent, let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." We know what the gift of the Holy Spirit is. It's everlasting life. It's forgiveness of sins that leads us to the everlasting life. But we need to repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of our sins. And then after we've done that, we need to remain faithful. Matthew 7:21, Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter." The reason I've said this is my favorite verse is because Jesus, the master teacher, boiled it all down to one sentence. He told you in one sentence who's going to heaven and who's going to hell. And we get to choose what group we're in. He said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven is who will enter." If you're doing God's will, you're going to heaven. If you're not doing God's will, you're not going to heaven. It's that simple. It's just that simple. And it's God's will that we do all of these things, that we repent of our sins, that we confess his name before men, that we're baptized into the body of Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, and that we remain obedient. Revelation 2:10, Jesus tells us, "Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life." Be faithful until death, and I'll give you the crown of life. And then, of course, the Hebrew writer tells us in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12, "Take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God." There's a false doctrine that's being taught amongst most of our denominational friends, that once you're saved, you're always saved. You can't be lost. That's just a lie. Once you're saved, you have to stay saved. That's your responsibility. And the only way you stay saved is to stay obedient. Hebrews 5:9. Hebrews 5:9 says, "And having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation." Jesus is the source of eternal salvation to who? Hebrews 5:9 says, "He is the source of eternal salvation to all those who obey him." We need to be obedient to him for life. The commitment that we make when we decide to become a child of God is a lifelong commitment. It's not something that we just go, okay, check the boxes, baptized, I'm saved, live my life any way I want to from now on. That's not the way it works. We need to be obedient to the Lord for the rest of our lives to be saved. So, if there's anybody here tonight who believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and you need to confess your sins and repent of your sins, confess his name before men and be baptized into the name of Christ, we can do that. We have a baptistry full of water right back here. If you've done that and you have sinned in such a way that you've brought shame upon the Lord's church, you would like to ask forgiveness of God and we want the prayers of your brethren to help you get back on track, then let your wishes be known as we stand and sing this song.